translation. The great gardener, Lord Chaitanya, personally eats this fruit. And as a result, he constantly remains mad, as if helpless and bewildered. Purport. It is the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to act himself and teach the people. He says, Apani achari bhakti karila prachar. Chaitanya Charitamrita Adilila 4.41. One must first act himself and then teach. This is the function of a real teacher. Unless one is able to understand the philosophy that he speaks, it will not be effective. Therefore, one should not only understand the philosophy of the Chaitanya cult, but also implement it practically in one's life. While chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sometimes fainted and remained unconscious for many hours. He prays in his Shashastakam, Yugyayitam nimeshena chakshusha pravisyayitam sunyayitam jagat sarvam govinda virahena me. O Govinda, feeling your separation, I am considering a moment to be like 12 years or more. Tears are flowing from my eyes like torrents of rain, and I am feeling all vacant in the world in your absence. This is the perfectional stage of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and eating the fruit of love of Godhead, as exhibited by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One should not artificially imitate this stage, but if one is serious and sincerely follows the regulative principles and chants the Hare Krishna mantra, the time will come when these symptoms will appear. Tears will fill his eyes. He will be unable to chant distinctly the Maha Mantra, and his heart will throb in ecstasy. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that one should not imitate this, but a devotee should long for the day to come when such symptoms of trance will automatically appear in his body. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om gyanan timirandasya gyanan jana shalakaya chakshurum miditam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobhistam stapitam yena bhutale swayam rupa kadamayam datati swapadantikam vandeham shri guru shri yuta padakamalam shri gurum vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sahagatratam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Visakam Vitam Sha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagapate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Chite Devi Pranami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Tirubhisha Kipashindo Bevacha Petita Nam Pavani Bhyo Vaishnava Bhyo Namo Namaha Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pashaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedante Swami Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sanyavadi Pashtata Distatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare 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 Krishna. Before I begin, just request all the devotees to offer their blessings so that I can speak something appropriate for today's verse. So before I get into the verse itself, I wanted to kind of explore where this verse fits in the entire context of this chapter and actually the following chapter. In the beginning of this chapter, what we see is Prabhupada, he mentions how Bhaknir Thakur, he summarizes this chapter based on his commentary on Chaitanya Charitamrita called Amrita Pravaha Bhasya. And he explains in that summary that Krishnadas Kaviraj, he is giving a figurative example to illustrate well, many things, a number of things actually. One is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. The other topic that's being illustrated is the community of devotees. And specifically, it's also mentioned that this is a figurative example that describes the desire tree of bhakti. It's described that Lord Chaitanya, he plays the role of the gardener. Well, he plays a number of roles, and I'll explain those roles as we go on. But in that summary, it's mentioned initially that Lord Chaitanya is the gardener. So, as the gardener, he sows the seed, he plants the seed. However, as gardeners do, they also take care of what comes from the seed, the plant. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has this role. And it's described in the summary that Lord Chaitanya initially, he plants the seed in Navadvip. And then he transports this plant to Jagannath Puri and finally to Vrindavan. We also see if we study the life of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how initially he spent his, youth in Navadvip. And then once he takes sannyas, goes to Jagannath Puri. And during his travels, he goes to a number of places like South India, but particularly he goes to Vrindavan too. From this seed, it said, Pratama Ankura, the initial or the first fructification of this seed is Madhavendra Puri. And from Madhavendra Puri comes Ishvara Puri. And from Ishvara Puri comes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he manifests as the trunk of this tree. So we see that Lord Chaitanya is not only the gardener of this tree, but he's also the trunk of the tree. And he said from this seed comes a number of roots. Particularly it's mentioned 9 sannyasis. Sannyasis like Paramananda Puri and Keshava Bharati, who gave sannyas to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he said this trunk with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it splits into two. It splits into Advaita Acharya and Nityananda. And from there, many, many branches and many, many sub-branches come. And I guess you'll be reading in future weeks the different individuals that represent the different branches. And I read ahead, and what's interesting is that as Krishnadas Kaviraj is describing this tree, what came to my mind is how varied the devotees are and how large and how exalted the community of devotees are. So he describes, as he's describing the tree later, you have personalities like Srivas Thakur, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he would perform with his associates the nocturnal kirtans, the kirtans that went on all night. You have people like Rakeshwara Pandit, who was the famous dancer for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You have Haridas Thakur, who's known as Namacharya. You have Shivanand Sen, who was responsible for taking the devotees from Bengal to Jagannath Puri. In fact, it said that he maintained all the devotees during that journey. You have people like devotees like Jagannanda Pandit, who had an interesting relationship with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's actually described as the incarnation of Satyabhama. So there are a number of times where Jagannanda would request Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even though a sannyasi, to accept certain luxuries. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu refused. And so sometimes it would appear as if Jagannanda and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were quarreling. You have personalities like Damodar Pandit, who would sometimes chastise Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So like this, Krishnadas Kaviraj, he describes this tree, and he describes the different devotees that are part of the Gaudiya community. And it's interesting, when Krishnadas Kaviraj is describing these devotees, he with each and every one of them, he offers his respects. But he also mentions that one cannot say that one is higher and one is lower. And he also mentions that, you know, there's 9 different processes of devotional service, and some devotees were attracted to one process more than the other. And which process they were most attracted to was according to taste. So again and again, at least for me, I see that Krishnadas Kaviraj is saying that, you know, there are so many different types of devotees. And in many ways, we have to respect all of them. In fact, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as well as describing himself as the gardener and the trunk, he also describes himself as the branches. So what that means is that he is the devotees. He manifests through the devotees. And Prabhupada mentions that ISKCON is one of those branches. So it's also interesting to see how ISKCON fits into the, you know, entire mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Also recently at a meeting at the London Temple, we were discussing topics about relationships with devotees, and one devotee, he mentioned a very significant letter that Prabhupada wrote to Aitreya Rishi Prabhu. This is a letter that Keshava Bharati Maharaj often quotes as well. But Srila Prabhupada, he was responding to concerns that Aitreya Rishi was bringing up. Aitreya Rishi was obviously experiencing a lack of cooperation amongst his god brothers and god sisters. He was seeing that some of his god brothers and god sisters had faults, and he was suggesting that perhaps this is due to impersonalism. And Prabhupada's response, I mean, he makes a number of points, but it's very interesting. He explained to him that there is no utopia in this world, and not even in a spiritual world. He makes that point. He says, even in a spiritual world, there's quarrels. He describes the gopis' quarrel. He mentions how even in the spiritual world, there's mistakes. He gives the example of how Krishna, because of his being infatuated with Srimati Radharani, instead of milking a cow, he milks a bull. Prabhupada also mentions how the gopis, when they're dressing for Krishna and putting up, he uses the term makeup, but I think it was, and then he explains, kumkum. Sometimes because of their love for Krishna, they do not dress properly. They dress like, you know, sometimes how a child would dress. Or they smear kumkum in the wrong places. So Prabhupada shares these examples to show that even in the spiritual world, there's mistakes. But he mentions, but because Krishna is the basis, it's all transcendental. And to expect utopia in this world, he mentions, is actually impersonalism. Because of personalism, there's naturally going to be differences of opinion, different ways we look at things. But what we should remember, because the basis is Krishna, it should be considered as transcendental. I know in English we sometimes say we should agree to disagree, right? I think that's perhaps quite relevant in this regard. And Prabhupada mentions how for devotees, for material life, they're pessimistic, but with spiritual life, they're very optimistic. So he explains how, you know, we should have this optimistic mood with the devotees. He mentions how devotees are more exalted even than kings. I mean, we don't have kings as such anymore. We have a queen, I guess. Imagine the queen came to Bhaktivedanta Manor. We would show great respect for her, I guess. I hope so. But that level of respect, or the prime minister. But the position of devotees, Prabhupada is explaining, is even greater than this. Hence, we should show even more respect. So this is one of the points I took from this example. The second, which is mentioned, is that this desire tree illustrates the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We understand that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he descended for a number of reasons. One of the reasons is that it's explained, Radha Bhava Duti Suvalitam Naomi Krishna Surupam, that Krishna comes in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to accept the bhav of Srimati Radharani, the mood, and also the duti, which is the effulgence. That's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is golden, like Srimati Radharani. So he comes to with the mood of Srimati Radharani to taste what Srimati Radharani tastes in devotion to himself. And we see in today's verse here, it's described that Malakara, the great gardener, Kaye e prema phal. So the gardener himself eats this fruit, prema phal, which is the fruit of love of God. And what's the consequence? It's described nirvadi mata rahe. Avadi actually means interval. So nirvadi means without interval, and it's here translated as always. So he is always mata, maddened, rahe. He remains like this. So because of eating this fruit of love of God, he always remains maddened. And it's described as if helpless, as if bewildered. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu here, experiencing this fruit of love, is completely intoxicated. And because of this, generally when someone's intoxicated, there's not much discrimination. If you ever meet a drunkard, you know, they can't really tell what's in front of them. Their words are incoherent and they have no sense of discrimination. And in one sense, we see this reflected in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's merciful mood. It's described, and particularly with the entire Panchatattva, and particularly with Nityananda. It's described in Chaitanya Charitamrita, patra patra vichara nahi nahi stana stanha yehana paye kare premadana. It's described that the mood of the Panchatattva, the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is patra apatra. They do not consider vichara who is a fit recipient and who is not a fit recipient. Nahi stana astana. They do not consider what is a favorable place or condition or what is not. They distribute freely, no conditions. Wherever they have an opportunity, they give. And so this is also Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mood. And it's very interesting because it's explained how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's come in this age to give the highest thing to the lowest people. It's described, Napritam chiram chirat karuna yavitino kalo samapaitam unuchvala rasam swabhakti shriyam. That Napritam chiram chirat, what has not been given, samapaitam unuchvala. The unuta means the most elevated. Ujvala rasam, splendid rasa. So this is it's explained, this is the conjugal ras. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in many ways gives the highest thing to the people of the age of Kali. So this is why in so many places Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is glorified as the most magnificent, the most magnanimous, the most merciful form, the most merciful incarnation of the Supreme Lord. It's described in this example that Krishnadas Kaviraj gives, is that this prema phal, it appears everywhere on this tree. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as the gardener, he's picking off these fruits, and it's described he's trying to distribute them to everyone in all directions. So he's also eating them, and he's also trying to distribute them. And it's explained by Krishnadas Kaviraj, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is thinking that, how many fruits can I eat by myself? And he's also thinking, how can I distribute all these fruits on my own? Inevitably, just because I'm one person, some people will receive, and some people will not receive. So then, Krishnadas Kaviraj describes how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's requesting everyone to assist him. He requests everyone to accept this fruit and also help him to distribute this fruit. And particularly, he asks all those described Bhata Bhumite Hoila Manushya Janmajare, that those that are born in India, they have a particular responsibility. And in Prabhupada, interestingly, in the purport, he says, and of those in India, especially the Bengalis, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was born in Bengal, have a responsibility to assist him in this mission. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, if everyone assists me, then my reputation as a pious man will be known across the world. So we see, when we spread, try to share Krishna with others, we have an opportunity to glorify Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to assist him in being known by the entire world as the most pious of men. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also describes that, although I am the gardener, or Krishnadas Kaviraj describes, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, although I am the gardener, I also want to be like a tree, or as the tree. It's described in many places in our scriptures how the tree is very kind and very merciful. Right? The tree provides shade. Even if you cut down the tree will still give in the form of, if you're using wood for a fire, or if you're using it to create a building. So like this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu describes, I want to be like the tree. This example, actually, of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu trying to distribute fruits, it also reminds me of another example in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's described how when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was in Kashi, he was, you know, engaged in chanting and dancing. Now, Kashi, Prabhupada describes in the purport, is a city of Mayavadis. And Mayavadis don't like chanting and dancing. They actually look down upon it. And because of this, Prakashananda Saraswati, who was the head of the impersonalists in Kashi at that time, he began to criticize Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He says, sannyasi nama matra. That is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's a sannyasi only in name. Only in name. In fact, Maha Indrajali, he's actually a great magician. He's a great trickster. Because obviously, from his view, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was attracting a following, but he was engaged in sentimental activities. He says, Kashipure na vikabe. In Kashi, he says, this will not sell. Tanra bhavikali. These sentimental, emotional activities will not sell. No one in Kashipur will accept these activities, this process. It's interesting because if you go to different parts of India, there's different, Vedic processes emphasized. Like you go to Bengal, people are much more simple, and chanting and dancing is very much of interest. Whereas in Kashi, they engaged in hearing Vedanta. In fact, Prakashananda, he says to his followers, Vedanta Shavana Kare, go on hearing the Vedanta. And there's certain aphorisms in the Vedantic text that they are very much interested in and meditate on. Statements such as, Tattvamasi and Aham Brahmasmi. So this is their process. He explains, Na yahai tanra pashed, do not go near him. Steer clear from him. Utsrina kale loka sange, if you associate with such upstarts, that's the translation Prabhupada gives, dui loka nashe. Dui means two, so dui loka, the two worlds, everything will be destroyed. And it's explained these two worlds means in this world and the next world. So Prakashananda, he warns his followers, do not associate with such a person. Go on hearing the Vedanta. If you associate with such a person, everything will be destroyed. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in response, not to him directly, but to his followers, he recognizes that it's somewhat difficult to share this Prema Phal in Kashi. And he explains, Bhava Kali Vechite Ami Oilana Kashipure. He explains, I came to Kashipur to sell this bhavakali, this prema phal, this devotion. Grahake nahi navikaya lana yabagare. But there's no customers. So probably what I need to do is take this this commodity is the word Prabhupada uses. A lot of commerce analogies and examples. I need to take this commodity back home, right? You're a bit. I don't know if there's many business people here, but if you're trying to sell a product, you have to find a market. You got to find a customers. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, obviously, I mean, if you're looking at it from a business perspective, it appears as if he's made a mistake. Why go to Kashi? He explains, though, Bhari Bhoja Laina of Alaina Gemana Laina Yabe. He says, Bhari Bhoja, but these commodities, this load that I bought is very heavy. How can I take it back? Alpa Swalpa, you often hear this word Alpa in Bengal, right? I think it means like small, less, little. Alpa Swalpa Mulya Poilo Etai Vechiba. So he says, and this is what a lot of businessmen do, is if they're struggling and they have to sell the products in that area, then they cut the price. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he says, I will sell this Prema Phal for a fraction of the price. Shishi Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai, Shishi Titaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai, Shishi Gonitai Ki Jai. So ultimately, this is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does. And such pastimes explain and illustrate the very merciful and very compassionate nature of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So even here we see such unqualified individuals, because of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's grace, receiving the opportunity to receive this prema phal. In respect to this example, Prabhupada says, similarly, when I attempted to go to the West to share this Krishna consciousness process, I did not think that people would receive this message. And just as I was thinking, and he mentioned specifically America and New York, which is the first place he went. And I was thinking, just as Kashipur is the place of the Mayavadis, in many ways, New York, at least at that time, was the, and probably still today, was the place of the materialist. It's the hub. It's very interesting that Prabhupada goes from Vrindavan, which is the capital of the spiritual world, and he goes to New York. And you know, it's the hippie time, so people are, it's just a little crazy, hedonistic, I would say. So Prabhupada went into that environment and he shared Krishna consciousness, and he draws parallels with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's situation where he goes to Kashi. And just as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this example, he requests for all to assist him. We see Srila Prabhupada doing this, and we also, as followers of Srila Prabhupada, as members of ISKCON, we have the opportunity to assist Srila Prabhupada, by which we can assist Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his mission to share these fruits with the world. I was thinking, just as you know, a son inherits the wealth of his father, so in the same way, we also inherit the legacy, the mood, the burden of sharing Krishna with others. And this is what comes out, especially in this example, that, okay, this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, but he's asking us to help, and we have to assist it, because his desire is that the entire world knows about this message. And ultimately, what is this Prema Phal? It's the fruit of love of God. And this is what everyone's searching for. Everyone, boil it down, everyone's searching for happiness. But unfortunately, because there isn't proper knowledge being communicated and transmitted, unfortunately people do not know about this. Prabhupada explains in many cases that the nature of the soul is that it's anandamaya bhyasat. It's by nature joyful. It's very interesting because this statement is a sutra from the Vedanta Sutra, and it's actually a hermeneutical rule. And if you take out the sandhi, the final word is actually abhyasat. And it's similar to the word, it's the same word in the Gita, where Krishna is responding to Arjuna about the, when Arjuna says the mind is very difficult to control, and Krishna says, agrees, he says, yes, the mind is dunigraham, it's very difficult to grasp, and it's janchala. And he says, abhyasena tukunteya varagina chagrihati. But by practice, abhyasena, and by renunciation, one can control the mind. So it's the same word. So this word abhyas means repetition or practice. So the Vedantic texts are saying that because of repetition, this anandamaya, Brahman is anandamaya. And what this means is that Brahman by nature consists of ananda, which is bliss. And so Brahman, we understand, is Krishna, but it's also us, because we're the jivas, because we're part and parcel of Krishna. In the Krishna book, in chapter 87, Prabhupada speaks about the different koshas, of which Anandamaya is one. Kosha means like a sheath or a cover, just like if you have a wire, it's sometimes covered by plastic. So in the same way, there's different coverings that we have, and Prabhupada actually explains them as they can also be known as departments of existence. So you have the first three, which are anamai. Ana means food, so that covering which is made from food, or it can also be seen as Prabhupada says, he coins the phrase food consciousness, like a child. So that's kind of considered the lowest level of consciousness. Then there's pranamoy, which is, prana means life airs, and that level of consciousness is where you're conscious of your existence. And then you have manamoy, which is the level where your thoughts and feelings are based. So Prabhupada explains that those three levels, that's the level where materialistic civilization exists on. But higher than that, you have vijnanamoy and anandamoy. Vijnanamoy means that one understands that they have an identity beyond this body. And anandamoy means that one understands that as well as having a spiritual identity, that their spiritual identity is intimately connected with Krishna, that we are part and parcel of Krishna. And this is considered the understanding this, or coming to this level, is the perfection of life. In fact, Prabhupada explains in the purport to that section, he says that if one doesn't come to this standard, then one is no better than an animal. He quotes a famous verse also from the second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Explains, Tarava kim na jivanti. Even the trees, the Bhagavatam says, even the trees live. In fact, the trees have very long lives. Prabhupada explains in the purport how there's a banyan tree in Calcutta that lives for 500 years. But he says, what is the benefit of living for such a long time? And he gives two examples of individuals that didn't have such long lives, but had made a tremendous contribution. Does anyone know who those two examples are? He doesn't mention Jesus Christ, no. Lord Chaitanya. So Lord Chaitanya lived for 48 years, not a long life in one sense. And he mentions another individual who had even a shorter life, Shankaracharya, who lived only for 32 years. But of course they had a tremendous impact. It's also explained in that verse, Bhastra kim na shvashanti, that even the bellows of a blacksmith breathe. So my understanding, someone can correct me if I'm wrong, but the bellows are used to provide supply air to fires by blacksmiths. Never seen one firsthand, but Wikipedia is quite good too. but even the bellows of a blacksmith breathe. So just because someone breathes doesn't mean they're living. It's also explained, na kadanti, na mahanti, that even the animals, they eat and they mate. So the Bhagavatam is showing us that human life is meant for much more than just living, breathing, eating, mating. It's explained, Ahara nidra bhai maitunyam cha semanyam itat pashubir naranam, that ahara, nidra, bhai, matinya, eating, sleeping, mating, defending, these, the pashu, the animals, and the nara, they have these in common. But the distinctive feature of human life, dharma, hitesham, adiko, vishesho, that the human being is able to comprehend dharma, atata, brahma, jignasha, that the human being can inquire about the absolute truth and the absolute nature of things. So we have to, as followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as followers of Srila Prabhupada, part of our life has to be dedicated to sharing this message. And it's interesting because most people, a lot of people you meet that are not devotees, they're good people. They have good intentions. They want to help people. Just this week, I was at a seminar series, and there were different people presenting different topics. One person was an academic, but also an activist, and they were presenting how in India there's still a lot of discrimination between rich families and poorer families. And they were anthropologists, so they were studying the receptivity of families to sending their schools to modern education systems. And basically what they'd done is they'd done a lot of research and done a lot of activism to help allow rich families and poor families, their children, to kind of be in the same classes. Because what's happening in India, at least, is that they don't mix. There's a lot of discrimination, and you know, if a rich family knows that there's poor children in the same classes as the children, they'll say that the poor children are teaching my children bad habits, or they'll say that, and it does happen, that the poor children can't keep up with the children that are coming from the wealthier families because they're malnourished, they don't have enough food, so their attention span is short. And I went to another seminar that same day, and it was actually a debate. It was between a minister and a famous a news anchorman in India. And this individual has been a pioneer of promoting independent journalists in India. And as a result, they've revealed scandals. I mean, if you go to India, you'll hear a lot about the corruption, the political system. But this individual, with his team, have revealed a number of scandals that have taken place in India. And as a result, certain politicians had to resign. And so what I saw from these two presentations, that both of these individuals have good intentions, and they want to better the world in some shape or form. However, as Prabhupada mentions, their solutions don't go beyond the material plane. Their solutions are temporary. And somehow or other, in these forums and when we explore solutions to this world, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's message has to be heard. Otherwise it stays in this realm. And so this is the great blessing and that we also have, is that we have this opportunity to be an instrument and serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this way. Going back to this purport, it also explains how if we really want to be an instrument of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what we have to do. It's explained, it is the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to act himself and teach the people. Prabhupada explains, one must first act himself and then teach. This is the function of a real teacher. Unless one is able to understand the philosophy that he speaks, it will not be effective. Therefore, one should not only understand the philosophy of the Chaitanya cult, but also implement it practically in one's life. So, if we want to be a teacher or a preacher or serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this way, as well as speaking the right things, we have to behave in the right way, and we have to adopt the teachings in our own lives. I read this quote recently from St. Francis of Assisi. He said, one should preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. And it's interesting, we also have the saying, you know, actions speak louder than words. So when whatever we're doing, whichever way we're behaving, is being communicated to the people around us. Yeah? We have Achar and Prachar. We have these dual paths. We have to spiritually grow. We have to imbibe the teachings. We have to set the correct example. And we have to share the message. It's also explained in this purport that yugyayitam nimeshina chakshusha pravisyayitam. Based on this verse, Prabhupada says that one should not artificially try to imitate the stage, but if one is serious and sincerely follows the directive principles and chants the Hare Krishna mantra, a time will come where these symptoms will appear. And Prabhupada again says, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, one should not imitate this, but a devotee should long for the day to come when such symptoms of trance will automatically appear in his body. So we have to keep the goal in mind. What are we trying to achieve? Sometimes it's easy to kind of get caught up in the superficial kind of practices of devotional life, looking a certain way and behaving a certain way. But what we learn from this is that our growth has to be internalized. I was speaking to someone, another senior devotee, about this point, and he was saying to me, at least what we should try and do is at least to begin with, at least go from the Kanishta plane to the Madhyama plane. Especially if we're aspiring for initiation or if we took initiation, at least we should try and come to that stage. Because one cannot get to this stage that's being described until at least we get to this to the Madhyama plane. In the 11th canto, King Nimi is speaking to the Yogendras, and in that discussion he asks, what are the symptoms of the Vaishnavas? What are the characteristics of the Vaishnavas? And in response, a description is given of the Kanishta. It's described the Kanishta as Pujam Ya Shadaye Hate. That the Kanishta, he engages faithfully in puja, particularly to the acharyam, the deity. So he's very faithful and very devoted to the deity. However, natad bhakteshu cha anyeshu. However, he doesn't respect and he doesn't deal properly with the bhaktas, the devotees, and the anyas, the others. So the idea is that the others implies those that are not devotees. So this is the characteristics of a Kanishta. That is very devoted to the deities. However, he doesn't really respect the devotees. He doesn't perhaps feel the need for senior devotees in his or her life. And he's perhaps doesn't also deal appropriately with those that are not devotees. The Madhyama, on the other hand, expresses prem, love to Ishvara, to the Supreme Lord, Matri, friendship to the devotees, Kripa, mercy or grace to the to those that are junior devotees, neophytes as described, or ignorant devotee or ignorant people, and Upeksha, avoids the envious. So the Madhyama loves the Supreme Lord, makes friendships with the devotees, is compassionate to those that are junior or those that are non-devotees, and avoids the envious. And in the purport, Prabhupada says the difference between the Kanishta and the Madhyama is that the Madhyama sees the presence of Krishna everywhere, whereas the Kanishta doesn't. The Kanishta just sees the Krishna in the deity, perhaps in the temple, but when one walks out the temple room, Krishna doesn't exist anymore. Or Krishna doesn't exist through the through the devotees. Whereas a Madhyama, he sees Krishna connected to the devotees, connected to the world outside the temple. It's also interesting, in the Gita, towards the end of chapter 4, Krishna explained, Tadvidi pranipatena paripashena sevaya upetek shankti gyanam gyaninas tatvadarshana. It's explained, Tadvidi, after having known this, pranipatena paripashena sevaya, that one should approach by submissive inquiries and service those jnanis, those that were tatvadarshana, those that have realized the truth. One should take upadek shayanti, should take initiation from them. And in the very next verse, it's described, yaj gyatva na punamoha evam yayasi pandava. Having received initiation and having received this knowledge, it's described by Krishna, one never falls into illusion again. Na punamoha. And then he explains, yena bhutani asheshena drakshasi atmani atomaya. When one receives this knowledge, after taking initiation, one sees bhutani asheshena atmani, in the atmani means in the self, all bhutani, all living entities. And what is this self? Atamayi, Krishna clarifies. In other words, me. So what Krishna is saying in this verse is that after receiving knowledge from those that are self-realized, that one is no longer subject to illusion, and number two, one sees the Supreme Lord, the living beings within the Supreme Lord, i.e. that living entities are part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. And again, this illustrates the development of the sadhaka as one makes advancement in the spiritual process. So those were a few points that I wanted to share based on these verses and this section of the Chaitanya Lila. Normally you finish class at 9 o'clock, is it? Or is it 8:30 on Saturdays? 9, okay. Somewhere in between. Okay, we'll try and finish a little earlier. But does anyone have any comments or questions or corrections? Yes.